if you have thought, question, observation, critique.
Thanks for that, Dave. That was very edifying and timely. The thing that it stirs up for me is the need for the body of Christ to pray with one objective and one heart. And the problem that you alluded to with the varying worldviews that we each hold is actually an obstacle to that. And therefore, the antidote is to turn back to the gospel, to Jesus' doctrine. And the promise is that if we're connected to that doctrine through our own worldview, then our faith in the power of the Holy Spirit can work through us as a body in Christ. But I'd like your comments on how we might re-energize the body of Christ around the prayers that are needed in this time in our history.
Well, what I have learned in my life, I came to Christ in 1980. I was 33 years old, and he did an amazing thing. I had my ladder up against the wrong building, and he crumbled that ladder. And but I've come to believe that the most essential thing that we know about, and the most essential thing that we need to live in the light and truth of, is the gospel, is the good news. And I think that there is, I don't want to diminish duty, the word duty, but we as believers, it's both duty to our sovereign, but also a delight to love Christ and love his people and love this world. And so I think that one of the points I was trying to make about worldviews, other worldviews, is our need to understand them. And I try to understand where people are coming from. And I've worked hard to try to have conversations with people, people I don't know or whatever. And people want to gear off and talk about whatever, mostly political issues or TV and that, which I have no idea these days what's you know, talk about in TV. But I want to find out where they're coming from. What are those presuppositions? To find out more about their story, because I can tell them that there is a larger and grander story. There's something much better than what you're pursuing. And I think all of us should feel the weight of eternal destinies of our neighbors. And the most loving thing that we can do to our neighbors is to tell them the truth with gentleness, with respect, in winsomeness. But I think that's where. Now, of course, as I said earlier, in no time in our history, even though the church has been persecuted severely, this is the first time, at least in American history, that Christianity, and we Christians are just, as I said, considered so weird and so strange. But I think it's that distinctive, the weirdness and strangeness, oddly enough, is what will attract people who are among the debris, human debris, from counterfeit, these counterfeit worldviews. People happen to do your own thing. Define yourself. You can be anything that you want to be. And they go down that road. And it's disastrous, the consequences. So I think that impulse for us is what is important. Thanks for the comments, and that's a good question. Thank you.
Dave, thanks for your presentation. I really appreciate what you've had to say to us. You know, I think about your comments about the Christian worldview. And, you know, I think that probably most of the people here in our room, this room this morning, consider themselves Christians. But, you know, they probably voted for either of the two major candidates last year, maybe all the major candidates. They probably have different views about immigration reform, health care reform, that sort of thing. But let me ask you, if you'd care to help me with a discussion I'm in currently, and probably most of the people in the room are in currently, about what the Christian worldview tells us about a choice when we would consider supporting a candidate because they might, if they were elected, support views that were or legislation that was more consonant with our Christian worldview. Mm-hmm. But a candidate who seems unrepentant and rejects any of the allegations about sexual abuse in the past. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously a trade-off there. What do you think the Christian worldview would suggest we decide?
Because I pastor at a church, last year was a challenging year for many pastors with what was going on in the election and things like that. And what I tried to do with those who I helped shepherd is that our identity is not as a Republican, a Democrat, conservative, liberal, Trump, Hillary, Bernie, any of that. I mean, it's important for us to be good citizens and to be informed, but Donald Trump doesn't define me, okay? Our hope doesn't come on Air Force One. Our hope comes in Christ. So people will divide. I try to steer whatever those conversations are to what is driving particular things, and then trying to, particularly among believers, that there is a unity of the body, the church, and that is so incredibly precious to Christ. And so it's that reminder that we are. Well, exactly, and that's what my friend John Bishop was here the last time, and he talked about spiritual warfare, and that's very, very real as well. So I would say just we need to be centered on who we are in Christ. I have a new heart, and I have a new destiny, and I'll be going to that new destiny with brothers and sisters in Christ who are all over the map, perhaps in politics. And even in theology. I mean, I am so grateful that Christ saves despite bad theology, because none of us have figured it all out. And even John Calvin at one moment in his life conceded the great systematizer hadn't figured it all out yet. In terms of the other about this, was it had to do with sexual issues? Again, that license has been freely given. I've talked about men's sin against women, but there are other kinds of perverted sin that is twisted from God's original design and order. God created us male and female. He created us leave and cleave. He created us in His image. And therefore, every human being, whether they're believers or not, Hindus or whatever, are created in the image of God and are worthy of our respect. I think that has underpinned our society. But this thing, I think we need to speak truth. And the truth is there's something better. There's something grander and overriding of your gender, even though gender is incredibly important to God, as I said, male, female. But it's more than just your sexual preferences and things like that. So I counsel many men struggling with same-sex attraction, issues of pornography, all this. So I deal with this, try to understand, because there's a backstory to all of this. And I think that understanding that backstory is part of the healing process. But pointing that Christ offers something even in this life, in the midst of struggle. I don't struggle with same-sex attraction. I struggle with other kinds of things. Pride, you know, that original sin. So anyway, and that was another thing, John, that I would say, is that one of the things that we're under historically in the church, we are biblically illiterate. And not many years ago, you could just kind of talk about Moses or something like that, and there would be, whether they were Christian or not, some sort of biblical knowledge. But now you talk about, well, the Sermon on the Mount says, and they think that, you know, you're talking about somebody who gave a talk on horseback. So there's a disconnect. And so biblical education, even especially for us, we've got to get our story right in order to help others to see this grand, beautiful story of God's rescue of this world.
You mentioned that worldview is formal and informal.
Yeah.
This year, we're celebrating, we and others, anniversaries, 500 years, 100 years of Bolshevik Revolution, mm-hmm. which also caused a big and had strong implications on Christianity.
Right.
How do you see in the future, or if you do see an exponential person or institution who take the leadership on the world or has the capability to take this leadership of the world and change the world, or maybe the church, it can set a goal. In 37 years, we're going to celebrate an anniversary of 1,000 years is the break of the church. 1054, mm-hmm. when the Orthodox and the Catholic Church split, right? The Great Schism.
Mm-hmm.
Can the church set up a goal for 2054 to bring the Christian world together yeah. again?
Yeah. I'll just say that's way above my pay grade. I mean, that is the hope of Christ, and that is his church. It's not the church that we're building. In fact, the church that we've tried to build in the past has turned out not so well. But it's the church that he's building. That's what I try to look to. And my hope is that his high priestly prayer for all of us, prayed for me, prayed for you, prayed for his church, is spot on. And as my friend Russ Moore, is that we're marching to Zion and that history is bending to Christ.
Thank you.